I have to admit, I find myself in rather a curious position, one I haven't really been through before. This weekend, we had a guest priest, a mission priest, come in, raising money for the needs of the Church Universal. Once a year, we remind ourselves that the Church is a lot larger than just our community, and there's an appeal for the needed income in other areas. I had the particular opportunity to meet Father Martin, who came to this parish and preached at almost all of the Sunday Masses. And he's serving very, very diligently in Brazil, in the northern area of Brazil. And he tells me the industry and the money's in the south, so he's in the poorest part of Brazil. I think the most entertaining part is the fact that he is through and through an Irishman, with a heavy brogue and a slightly difficult to understand accent, and always, always entertaining with jokes. I find this very curious because while I've heard him in English, I would be very curious to see how his Portuguese came out. But maybe that's just me. And so here I find myself on a Sunday evening preaching the weekend readings for the first time. It's an interesting place to find myself. I actually looked at a lot of my brother priest's homilies for the weekend because, hey, why not? Usually I get to look at them after I've given my homily, not before. But reflecting on the reading itself, truly seeing it for what it is and what it says, there is certainly this push for some kind of worry about numbers. I don't know quite else how to put it. There's right there in the gospel, it says what? It says, well, Lord, will only a few people be saved? What's the max cap in heaven? It's kind of a curious question, isn't it? What's the max cap in heaven? What's the limitation on the number of people that are allowed in? How about that? It seems to really be the wrong direction of the question. Maybe the question's intention was kind of a different look at it. Maybe it was an approach of elitism. Lord, will only the truly elite be saved? You know, is it that, you know, you have to have that certain special quality that limits the number just by the fact that some have it and some don't, and it projects this sort of air of elitism. And regardless of whether the question was phrased one way or the other, I think it's very telling that Jesus doesn't answer it in that way at all. In fact, he kind of turns it on its side. He says, everybody should be striving for heaven. He says it. He says, strive to enter the narrow gate, the hard way in, the difficult path to try. Strive for the narrow gate. It isn't enough just to say that we're Catholics. It isn't enough just to say we're Christian. It isn't enough just to say that we read the Bible or every once in a while we try and do a good deed, or, you know, we allow our guilt to catch up and we make sure that we throw $5 in a collection somewhere. It's not about any of those things. The real challenge is to strive for that narrow gate. It's there in Hebrews. It's not often that I get to pull straight from the second reading like this, but I want to jump at it when I can here. It's right there in Hebrews. There's a lot of people who fight about who the author of Hebrews is. At the moment, I don't really care. What I really care about is what the author says. The author clearly has tried to do a motivational speech or two in his life, and he looks pretty good at it based on what I'm reading from Hebrews. But what does he say? He says, look, you seem to have forgotten what we told you at the beginning. You've forgotten the exhortation given to his children. You know, we explained to you, we told you right when you were baptized what it takes to be children of God, this call to Christianity for what it is. Don't disdain the discipline of the Lord. We don't like hard work, do we? You know, it's hard and it's work. It seems awful. Sort of put it off to the side. Don't really want to take that on. I hear criticisms all the time, like, you know, if it wasn't work, it isn't worth it. There's this push off. You know, it's work. I don't really want to do it. I do it too. I tell people all the time, exercise kills. And then I can cite examples of how many times and how many people I know that, you know, so I don't have to do the work. I can find a way to justify it away so that I don't have to exercise myself. That's why I do it. But do we really hate hard work? Or do we just hate the concept of it? And so many of us have actually experienced the challenges of hard work and have actually knuckled down and done it anyway. Have actually seen the challenges placed before us and instead of shirking away, embrace it. Ask any athlete the effort that they put in for their work. Ask any athlete the hours of training they spend, the running, the lifting, any of those things. And while they may tell you that it's hard right now, you don't see them regret it when it pays off for them. It's a curious thing, but there's something about discipline and hard work that we idealize the goals because they're worth striving for. There's something about it that we should be doing, that we know we should be doing, that we want to be doing, not because it's hard, but because it's worth it. It's worth something to us, and we should want it for that. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. You can hear it, can't you? This is a motivational speech. He's starting it out. He goes, don't disdain that discipline or lose heart when you're reproved. God loves whom he disciplines. When we face those spiritual struggles, when we face those challenges in our life, when it becomes difficult to be Catholic, God loves whom he disciplines. If you find yourself at a point in your life where God isn't challenging you at all, you're not trying. Because God will bring that challenge. He'll introduce that challenge. It doesn't have to be a great challenge. It doesn't have to be a long challenge. It can be something small. But God challenges us and wants us to grow in something. And he loves those he disciplines. It always reminds me of the great story from St. Teresa of Avila. She was reforming the Carmelite order. It was not well received. She was at one point being chased in the dark during the rainy season by dogs through a swamp. So she's running in the dark, it's cold, it's wet, it's damp, and God speaks to her right then and there. He says, see how I treat my loved ones. See how I treat my friends. St. Teresa, never one to miss a beat, said, Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, little wonder you have so few of us. It's that touching moment between the challenges we face and we're not really sure. You know, we say that God trusts us with these challenges. Sometimes we're really hoping God's going to trust us a whole lot less, you know, just so that we can level off. But the truth of the matter is, this is our exercises. This is our strength training. This is our call from God to be close to him, to follow after, so that we too might be disciplined. We may not all be athletes. And I can tell you for sure, I'm never going to win an Olympic gold medal in anything. But when it comes to our faith, when it comes to the goals we have in life, there should be nothing more important or more valuable to us or more focusing for our discipline than that single great goal of going to heaven. And while it is a lifelong pursuit, and it is certainly not for the weak of heart, it is our calling, so that all of us might strive for that narrow gate, so that all of us might work so as to win. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees, and reach for that great goal. Just one other side note. Will be a second collection to take up money for Father Martin and the work he's doing in his diocese in northern Brazil. I want you to know that right now, Father Martin was born in Ireland, is an Irish priest, came over to Brazil to assist in a place of great need. He alone, by himself, has to cover an area that spans over 100 miles. And there are no major highways, and there are no easy roads. He loved my Jeep, he said, he has one too, because it's the only thing that doesn't get stuck in the mud. If you want to think about it, he alone covers a span of 100 miles. It's about 100 miles to Chicago. I want you to imagine one priest from here to Chicago. Anything you can give to help for that on the second collection is much appreciated. He had nothing but wonderful things to say about all of you, and I cannot even thank you enough for that. He also let me know that he'll actually be back either next weekend or the weekend after, because he's going to St. Anne's for the same mission appeal. If you're from St. Anne's, by all means, donate here so our numbers will look better, because, you know, it never hurts to have a little help with competition, so it never hurts to help with that. But regardless, strive for something incredible, and don't settle for second best.